The U.S. Department of Energy has designated the Facility for Rare Isotope Beams at Michigan State University a U.S. Department of Energy Office of Science user facility. U.S. Secretary of Energy Dan Brouillette announced the designation at a special ceremony held at MSU in a tent adjacent to EFRIB on the 29th of September. DOE Undersecretary for Science Paul DeBar was on hand for the ceremony too and joins me on MSU today. Paul, great to have you on the program.
Oh, it's great. It's great to be here. Great day. Great day for Michigan and MSU and really the whole country in this area of science.
Yes. Yeah, so can you tell me first, what does it mean that EFRIB is a user facility? What does that mean?
Yeah, so the federal government, us and other agencies build large facilities that could be used by people from all over the world. And it's open for people to not only come from MSU, so local researchers, but from elsewhere in Michigan and elsewhere around the country and elsewhere around the world. And so it's really meant to be an open science available facility. These things are extremely expensive. So this one, if you look at the total amount contributed from all the different parties over time, about $1.2 billion. And so these facilities are so large that no individual university, not even with the giant endowments of Harvard or others, could they afford, facilities in the multi-billion dollar range. So the American taxpayer, American government identifies, big facilities that could be used by people from all over the country. And we decided to build them in places and then open them up for users. And the way people get access to it is they have to submit proposals, a pitch, right? And we select every year available time to come and use the facility based on the scientific merit and the evaluation of all those proposals.
And what unique role does EFRIB play in strengthening the innovation presence of the United States globally?
Yeah, so, the core of the Department of Energy is actually physics, the history of it. We are the Manhattan Project, right? So Department of Energy and the National Lab Complex predecessor before Jimmy Carter stood up DOE was the Atomic Energy Commission. Predecessor of that was the Manhattan Project. So The department has this long history of our founders of Einstein and Enrico Fermi and so on. And this facility is really a derivative of that initial work from the Manhattan Project, it's nuclear physics. And this particular facility is to go and produce by far more than any other facility in the world, a wide range of isotopes of different elements that could be used for different purposes. This facility should be able to produce about 80% of all the isotopes that we could make in the world, from our estimates. So that's a pretty wide amount. And so there's many uses. The most obvious one that people probably have at least some connection with is dealing with the medical side and life sciences. So nuclear physics is better known for like nuclear power or strategic weapons, but the isotopes that people use, for example, for nuclear stress. So when you image your heart to see if you have any heart disease or if you've had a heart attack, is moly-99, technetium-99, the very standard isotope that people get for that. Nuclear imaging is many people have to go in and get into radiology, standard stuff in your in going to hospitals. Those isotopes, that's one of the clear uses of those isotopes. So this facility will be able to help manufacture some of those, but almost more interestingly, there's scientists who think, hey, we could use this isotope or that isotope to maybe deal with something else in health, a new cancer treatment. And they need, they have theories of an isotope, but you need a facility like you have here at EFRIB. That's going to be able to produce those isotopes, so the researchers can go and do trials and see if they work.
And Paul, you started to talk about it, but what are some of the expectations and hopes in scientific discovery that you look forward to from EFRIB?
Yeah, so um, So at the basic science side, understanding the symmetry and the architecture of individual isotopes and molecules around the isotopes, and how they might be used, and how they're imaged and how they work is a clear part of what I would call the discovery science side, right? So just producing them and evaluating them and understanding their kind of basic science characteristics is the discovery side. And there are many things that we will help to understand around formation of elements in the universe. So how elements are produced during and how they decay from supernova and black hole collisions and all these elements and how they're created. We can recreate those elements that are created around the universe and understand how those elements are created and how they act that we don't have access to here today, but we're quite certain are produced in the universe. So that's the basic science side. The applied side, right, is some of the ones I just described. Life sciences is the biggest one of the practical applications that we do, but there are many other uses for isotopes besides medical.
And what do you think the impact of the effort will be on training the next generation of scientific leaders, Paul?
Yeah. So, in order for us to get people interested in a field, we really want to make progress, right? And, this facility, having the ability to produce 80% of all the isotopes ever, we think will exist in the universe that can exist, brings the opportunity for both from undergrads to grad students together, working usually for a tenured professor either here or once again come from someplace else around the world and come to MSU to do research on those sort of things I just described. And so if you're a student in dealing with isotopes and biology, so you can do bio major, obviously nuclear physics is a big one. There's a number of different areas that if you're a student and you're looking at, okay, what do I want to go study? It's really important to have the opportunity to drive new discovery, to get kids, I'm a little older, so I can say that, kids to see the possibilities, right? And so these tools not only have create the foundation to do discovery, it sucks people in terms of their interest to come into this field because they get to work with these, very large, highly interesting machines with their seniors, professors as part of, broader research.
And how important is it for the Office of Science that EFRB is located in the middle of a research-intensive university campus so that the students become attracted to accelerator technology and engineering?
So MSU is the top-ranked nuclear physics program in the country. So there's already a core group of both professors, right, who are already doing research, and not once again, not just in nuclear physics, but in biology and other areas that have interaction with the possibilities of isotope production for their particular field. So putting it, in or around where there's already a core cluster of people who are knowledgeable. And so about 12 or so years ago, when the Office of Science was looking at where to put this facility, clearly putting it where it was such a great program with their core group of students and professors already. And also we benefited from the state's engagement, both at the MSU level of support for the project in terms of contributing real estate and infrastructure, as well as the state level contributing outright cash. So that helped leverage the American taxpayer money. That comes from all over the country coming into MSU. Now, we certainly appreciate the MSU contribution and the state contribution.
And so how do you assess the outcome of the DOE Office of Science experiment to construct a user facility under a cooperative agreement rather than a contract?
Yeah, so this is the largest facility in the country, user facilities, one of these large facilities. This is the largest one that's not at a national lab. So you, if you want to think about that from an MSU point of view, they've, you know, MSU has almost reached national lab status in terms of, you know, having something that's $1.2 billion and kind of a core research of that scale. Anyone who has the opportunity to go in the building, you will see it. It's stunningly large compared to any kind of normal university research building. So to a very large degree, we're treating MSU as from a kind of contractual basis to some degree like a national lab. And so because of the scale, because of its footprint, the amount of money we put into it and the scope of drawing people into MSU, it's well beyond any of the other investments we've done out in other universities outside of national labs. And so doing this construct, which kind of almost mimics a lot of those characteristics of a national lab, not exactly, but much closer than typical, allows us to work together on things like evaluating who gets access. That's a user facility aspect to it, where we work together. So we have input and, along with MSU together, that's the C and the cooperative, you know, in order to open access to people from the world.
Yeah. And from your roundtable discussion with manufacturers, what can you tell me about the impact of participating in FREB on their own businesses and their local economies?
Yeah, so I'd start with a slightly different takeaway that I took from the roundtable, which is the pride. The pride, you know, and obviously it's important to build infrastructure of all types. But, you know, they were saying about how, you know, the welders and everyone who, you know, who were working together to make cavities or cryo or, you know, delivering steel and concrete, you know, participating in a facility like that, of its complexity, but more importantly, the impact. You know, once again, infrastructure of all types is very important. But, you know, this is a facility that will drive science and will, you know, it will help save people's lives, right? Is in a very kind of highly technical, high science level. You know, the various owners of the various businesses from around Michigan and elsewhere who we met with, you know, that was resounding about their pride of participating in that. Secondarily, you know, a lot of these people, you know, have businesses who not only do work here in Michigan, but because of the complexity of the sort of things that they built for FREB, that we're actually building, we need those components that we use at FREB for other giant science facilities at Stanford, at Brookhaven, at Fermilab in Chicago. I can keep going. And so what was really exciting was hearing from local businesses who learned skill set on fabricating components for FREB that they're in discussions already doing work at Stanford, right? And so, I think that it's exciting to hear that they have skill set and interest and connections more broadly across the country, I think in part because of the work at FREB. That was really exciting to hear about that also.
Yeah. And how do you view the future of construction of major scientific facilities in the shadow of COVID-19?
Yeah, so many people may not have noticed, but in the last 3.5 years or so, there's been a major bipartisan increase in R&D at the federal level. We're up 32%, which on the scale of the 60,000 people at the national labs at 17 sites, up 32% is material. But it's not just us. NIH was up before COVID. The National Institutes of Health and all the different subsets, they were up materially. NASA is up significantly also. So there's been a broad bipartisan interest in these facilities, part of which is the level of the science and discovery. Part of it is the impact on the economy and people's jobs that we should be investing in R&D. Some of it is international competition. Certainly a lot of dialogue from elected politicians about the importance of us versus China in particular. Some of these technical points, competition points. And so there's been a significant amount of money coming into innovation at the federal level. And so although this is a wonderful day here at MSU and at Michigan, we've started a whole wider range of other construction projects. As we finish here, we're starting an incredibly large number all over the country at the National Lab Complex, and even places like the South Pole, right? We're actually doing a new construction project. We got four telescopes at the South Pole imaging the Big Bang. I was just down to the South Pole last year, taking a look at our four telescopes that we have down there, seeing how the Big Bang, occurred and how galaxies form. And so just another example of, investment by the American people that have impact on discovery as well as economics.
And Paul, as we wrap up, is there anything important I didn't ask you that you'd like to add, or what would you like our listeners to take away really about FRIB and its potential impact on our future?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's obviously a lot of challenges going on right now from COVID and others. We've got about 100 COVID projects at the National Lab Complex. And obviously there is a significant amount of challenge, but I approach how I see the investment, whether it's in biology, whether it's in the area of nuclear physics, developing the quantum internet, having a permanent moon base and developing steps to get to Mars, where I think the generation that's now in high school, they're going to walk on Mars. Okay. That's for certain. Okay. And so, there are challenges, but I think America and the world has a very interesting set of things kind of that are coming up, whether it's the quantum information technologies or us getting to Mars or clean energy innovation. I think from a technology point of view, especially for the students that are out there, there's some amazing things, and FRIB is absolutely a portion of that, driving innovation for physics, driving innovation for healthcare, and is part of that overall, I think, momentum that at least gets me excited, and I think gets a lot of people excited in MSU and elsewhere.
Well, Paul, thanks so much for updating us on MSU's facility for rare isotope beams. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much.
And people can learn a lot more at frib.msu.edu. And my guest has been the Department of Energy's Undersecretary for Science, Paul DeBarr. And I'm Russ White. This is MSU Today.